Now that the coronavirus restrictions have started to ease and many businesses, shops and other venues start to reopen, in line with the government working safely guidance, you might wonder whether visually impaired people have been included in these policies. Well, the RNIB has been working hard over the last 12 months and continues to do so to ensure that the guidance and policy documents include and reflect the needs of visually impaired people. I am now joined here on RNIB Connect Radio by John Dixon, policy officer here at the RNIB, who has been working hard on some of these government documents and continues to do so as well. Hello, John, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, John, could you briefly outline your role here at the RNIB? And how, as a policy officer, you have been able to help ensure that the needs of visually impaired people are reflected in government policy documents?
Yes, well, I'm one of a team of policy officers, and we look at what government is doing, we look at what local government and councils are doing, and where we see there are gaps, or where there are oversights, or where we think that official bodies could do better, then we will step in, we will make suggestions, we will look at, you know, how they do things, the policies that they've got, and try to improve things specifically for blind and partially sighted people. So the areas I work in mainly are health, social care, adult social care, and public health. So what I've been doing more recently with the government departments that are responsible for business guidance fell under my public health remit. So over the past 12 months, really, we've been very busy. And you can imagine that everything changed in March of last year. And we were all over the place trying to find, you know, where we could best influence government to improve the things that they were putting in place for blind and partially sighted people. And a piece of work that I was working on early on was around sighted guiding. And as a result of that, I got introduced to someone at the Department of Health and Social Care who said that they were doing some consultation work on business guidance, which sounded interesting. It sounded like something that I should get involved with. So I followed that up, had a lot of conversations, but then unfortunately she went on maternity leave. So I've been over the past 12 months, first of all, establishing who I should be talking to. And then finally, most recently, there was a consultation on 14 different bits of guidance affecting all sorts of different working environments, from shops and retail to heritage locations. So, you know, Stonehenge and stately homes and everything in between. So that was our opportunity really to try and influence businesses to think about the needs of blind and partially sighted people, not just coming out of lockdown, but longer term as well.
You've just recently written a blog about the Working Safely guidance document. And I think that you wanted or had quite a few recommendations that you would have liked to have had included in the document, and perhaps not all of them were included, although I think that the needs of visually impaired people is right at the top of that document, which must be an achievement.
It is, yes. I mean, I must admit, it was a lot of work. As I say, there were 14 different documents. So while I was working through, and they were all on a fairly short deadline because this needed to be done in order for them to look at the changes that I was suggesting for the 12th of April milestone. So I'd gone through over the course of a fortnight, and I'd basically, you know, I was keeping things in my head that were common between documents, and I was looking at specific documents to see, you know, what, for example, an estately home needs to be doing, given that there were restrictions on what you could do in there. So it took best part of a fortnight, submitted it, had reasonably positive response to it, saying, yeah, no, this looks interesting, we'll be looking to incorporate this. But when it came back, you know, all of the places that I had put in, you know, you need to talk to blind and partially sighted people, to disabled people more widely about the reasonable adjustments you need at any stage where you are considering changing your business's practice, which for me is just fundamental. You know, those reasonable adjustments should be a core part of every business's business planning. Those had all been taken out. There were still some references in there to specific needs of blind and partially sighted people. And that was disappointing because I felt that took away from what I was trying to do, which was get that in at the core of business planning. But to their credit, what they'd done is the first step, which was an essential step for every business to take, was to consider reasonable adjustments. So that was before anything else they did, they needed to think about reasonable adjustments. And you know, I was initially disappointed because obviously it was a lot of work and that was really the only substantive change I could see. But when I thought about it afterwards, I thought, well, if we are going and we're talking to businesses, that is an obvious thing to point to, because all businesses should be following this guidance. And we can say to them, the first thing you need to do is you need to think about reasonable adjustments. Now, you don't know enough on your own about that. You need to talk to disabled people, to blind and partially sighted people themselves, to find out what they need you to do.
John, is there anything we can all do as visually impaired people to help the work that you are doing?
Well, keep us informed if there are problems, because, you know, there is no central reporting for this. So a lot of the issues that we're made aware of, you know, that will be the only way that we will receive that information. So, you know, if people do have issues, then they can contact the helpline. Campaigns can be put, you know, we could be put in contact with campaigns and policy as a result of that. You know, if we get people that come through to us that are demonstrating there's a problem, that's a bit of a trigger to us that we should be doing, you know, something more coordinated, more strategic with that, rather than just dealing with it as bits of individual casework. So that's probably the most valuable thing that people can do. And as ever, there's always going to be opportunities locally to get involved with things like access forums. So every local authority will have something of that ilk. Get involved with that to make sure that blind and partially sighted people's issues are considered when they're looking at issues that, you know, in that local authority.
John, if people would like to read your blog about the Working Safely guidance, or if people would like to find out more about how businesses around them can make changes or find out more information, where can they go?
Well, the RNAB website would be the place I would recommend, obviously. My blog's on there in the campaign section, but if there are employers and businesses out there, we have a whole section that's specifically aimed at them. So if they want to know how to support their employees, how to make the experience of their customers easier, then that would be the place to go. We have services that can help them.
Thank you, John Dixon, RNIB Policy Officer, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you.